Okay, the recording is started. I just heard one more beep. Who just joined? Did anyone just join? Okay, a phantom beep. Well, welcome everybody to the DSpace Globe. The DSpace Community Advisory Team call. And for those new members, welcome to the team. We're very excited to have new members, and I'm hopeful that that we will get a lot of good things accomplished for the community. I think, you know, this meeting is really a chance for us to get together live whenever possible. We meet generally once a month, but the bulk of the work of this group is targeted to get done kind of asynchronously throughout the month. So even those who aren't here or can't be here live for either connectivity issues or time zone issues, the hope is that you can still be a very vibrant part of the group and contribute to the group, even if you can't make the meeting. And the meeting is really a time to share information about what's happening in the community, to tweak our process, to talk about our process, because it's a very new process, and to refine that process and get it humming along. So thanks again for all of you for making it, and for all of the new members. I've listed them. If you pulled up the agenda a few minutes ago, you should refresh, because I've listed and included some more things in the agenda. So just do a reload or a refresh on your browser and you can see the latest and greatest. We have 6 new members, I think, representing a good breadth of different institutions and different countries. Only one of those 6 new members is actually in the U.S., which is good, because the remainder of our team, the remainder of our existing members, were predominantly U.S. So it's great to have some broad membership and experience joining the group. Go ahead.
Comment. I've prodded people in Norway as well, and they are looking for someone. They're just being a bit slow about it. So there should be more people if we still want members joining.
Yeah, I think we will probably reach capacity soon. But as long as we, you know, as long as this continues to be an effective, you know, effective group, I think we're up to 12 now. I think the only hazard is when everyone can make the call, then it becomes a little unwieldy. But I think, again, because we're doing most of our work outside of the group, I think it's good to have, you know, a good number of team members to conduct that work. If it's okay, we can introduce the new people on the call. Maybe all of us just go around and introduce ourselves and tell where we're from, so we can get a kind of a voice calibration. I know myself, a lot of new voices on the phone, and it's helpful to get kind of an idea of which voice belongs to which person. So my name is Valerie Hollister. I'm with the DuraSpace organization. I'm the Director of Community Programs. Very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be involved in this group and the work of this group going forward. So take it away, next person, whoever you are.
Right, shall I go next?
Sure.
Sorry. So my name is Aileen Stanglon. I am associated with the University of Cambridge in the UK and manage DSpace at Cambridge. And I've been involved with the Global Outreach Committee from the start, pretty much. I think that'll do.
And maybe I'll go next then, because I've also been involved with it since the beginning. My name is Jim Ottaviani, and I'm at the University of Michigan.
Hi, I'm Irina Kushma, Eiffel Open Access Program Manager.
Hi, this is Inma Svidas from Rome. I work for the FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization of United Nations, and we are very glad to be in the advisory board.
And this is Michael Guthrie, who's the I'm the Open Repository Manager at Biomed Central. And I've been working with DSpace since 2006, I think, for museums and heritage first, and then with in the academic world with Open Repository. And I'm looking forward to participating in this way. And I know quite a lot of you already, so it's great.
And this is Tim Donahue. I'm the DSpace tech lead. I'm not officially a member of this group, but I'm going to try and start trying to sit in on some of the meetings every now and then.
This is Bram Luiten with AppMire. We're also a DSpace service provider, and I'm especially interested in all of the outreach activities in events and conferences.
I think, Karen, you're the last one.
So, as Karen Walsh here from Animation Solutions. We're a service provider. We work with third-level institutions, mainly in Ireland and a couple more outside Ireland in wider Europe. We've been working with DSpace for a couple of years now. We're looking to get more involved on the community side of things, and hopefully through this and other avenues, looking to really get stuck in.
Great. And that's all I had on my list. Is there anyone else that snuck in? Okay. Great. Well, thanks, everyone. The first thing we have generally done in the past, and all of what we do, I'm absolutely open to refinement and change. But we usually talk a bit about what's happening in the community, and it can be even at an institution level or activity level for those on the call. It just helps to find out and learn more about what people are up to and what they're involved with. It's meant to be fairly informal. The entire meeting is meant to be fairly informal, so please interject or ask questions, interrupt. I know it's hard to raise a hand, but please do so. This is really our time to get what we need and the answers we need from the group done. So feel free to interject. So I'll just launch off into the news that I'm aware of, and then maybe people can jump in. I think we have been talking the last few months about the DSpace 1.7 promotion, kind of the adoption of 1.7 going on within the community, based solely on, you know, some conversations that I've had and also the DSpace registry list on DSpace.org, I have identified the early adopters of 1.7. I'm sure there's more than just this list, but these are the ones that I'm aware of people that have already upgraded to 1.7. I know that Jim at University of Michigan, you were in the process. I don't know if that upgrade was completed or not. So I have you as a question mark.
Yep, all done.
Great.
Yep, worked well.
Good. Anyone have anything else to add? I'm sure there's others, but we don't need to go through them and add them. I think it's interesting to note that we have, you know, several people who have already upgraded and been through the process.
We plan to have our 25 instances upgraded by certainly by OR 11, and hopefully a bit sooner even. Like, we're pretty close already at this point.
These are the open repositories, Michael?
That's right.
We've also started in Cambridge to look at 1.7. At the moment, we've got a test instance running, and I hope to move forward with that towards summer as well.
Okay. Any other things about 1.7? I know the other bit of news is will be a 1.7.1 release. Is that in April, Tim?
No, right now it's tentatively scheduled for March 25th, so okay. End of March. And that's primarily fixing bugs with Sword and Oracle, so databases. Those are the main bugs, but there's some small things there as well coming in.
Okay. Great. I think most everyone else is aware that the next major release, DSpace 1.7, is going to, on our 1.8. schedule. I'm sorry, 1.8, sorry. 1.8 is scheduled for October 2011. And I've included a link to the release notes that the developers have put together of things that might be included in that release. I don't know if you have anything more to add, Tim, about that.
No, we're early on in the process right now. Robin Taylor is going to be the release coordinator for 1.8, and right now we're just starting to identify those features we're hoping to get done in time for 1.8 and kind of dole them out amongst people who have time.
Great. I don't think Alice is on the line, but the next item, the eForum, that started in January, I'm not sure if any of you remember the discussion that occurred, I think it was mid-January, about it was actually whether or not people within the community were planning on upgrading to 1.7. It was about a two-day sort of asynchronous discussion that happened on the list. And it was really interesting to see who participated and learn about people's plans around that. And Alice is also a new member of DCAT, and she'll be continuing to run the eForum. It's going to run, I think, every other month is her plan at this point, and a different topic every month. It'll run on the general list, and the idea is to get people talking and potentially identifying people who are working on similar things that might be able to, you know, share information and share ideas about what they're working on. So the next one is scheduled for March 23rd and 24th, and it's going to be focused on project workflows and just giving some idea of what or how people have decided on their workflows for DSpace. There is a desire to have another co-moderator, particularly when, you know, Alice is from the US, and so it'd be particularly nice if there was a moderator in Europe, Asia, or Australia to keep those discussions kind of going in the off time and Alice's off time, offline time. So if there's anyone here who would like to participate in that and help to moderate, the role is pretty simple. It's just, you know, encouraging discussion and prodding people for discussion and creating, I think, working with Alice to maybe create a summary following those discussions. So nothing too onerous. Is anyone on this call interested, or would do you know of anyone who might be interested in moderate, helping to moderate? Okay. Well, it's out there as an opportunity, and I'm looking forward to seeing more on those discussions. Does anyone have an opinion about that first eForum on 1.7? Did anyone have anything notable or anything that they would, any observations that they would like to make about that discussion?
I don't really have an observation, but I had a question. I was just wondering how we could increase the reach of the discussion, because it's only happening on the mailing list. So I was wondering which website or source really mirrors the mailing list, so we can link to that maybe on Twitter or on things like Facebook, to make sure that maybe other people who are normally not included on the mailing list can also get a sense of what's going on and maybe subscribe on the mailing list as a consequence of that.
Very good thought. So you would just say like an announcement that it's going on and an announcement that it's closed, that kind of thing? Or would you want like a periodic refresh or a periodic quote going out over Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, maybe not from each individual message, but definitely when a new ID is being propagated, or when someone has an interested problem or propagate something that others can react to, then that can be launched as a Twitter message or something else.
Yeah, I'll mention that to Alice and see if that's something that she can do.
This is Irina, I have a suggestion. Maybe it's possible to start with something like, I don't know, a short discussion paper, a short case study. Because my feeling was that when this previous e-forum started, like it took some time for people to catch up. Maybe if you throw in the beginning something, I don't know.
Something to react to? You mean something to react to?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so maybe okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what her plans are.
Would it make sense to make a summary page or an e-forum page on the wiki, very simple, with a brief mention of each one, and with a link to the discussions on the mailing list, so that there's a place where people can find the sort of the overview of everything?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
and also that could contain the Twitter information and starting points, etc.
To that effect, what about actually having a forum? I mean, if DSpace is based on Joomla, then there's Kunina and or Jam Social as a social aspect that could be installed into the Joomla. And I've worked with both of those, and that would be a good way to have an actual forum. So maybe that would encourage people to participate in a wider sense. So they wouldn't necessarily have to subscribe to the list.
Right.
But it does have all of the capabilities of being able to tweet and like something on Facebook, et cetera.
Yeah, I think those are good ideas. I think the one observation I would have is that it's a little difficult to follow the mailing list discussion because it kind of gets mixed up with everything else. And so, you know, it'd be nice if it was in a discussion forum format, because I think it's much easier for someone to sort of read back and, you know, get a good summary of, you know, what the discussion was about. And you can start new sections for, you know, new tangents that people go on. So,
well, I'd certainly be eager to help out on that. I've just installed Kunina and Jam Social on a different website recently, and it's pretty easy to get going. And that could add the social community aspect. So if you want to take that forward, I would.
Okay. I will. I'll talk with you offline, Michael, and then maybe we can talk with Alice, or, you know, sync up with Alice on email somehow. And because I certainly think it could be a very powerful way to get people involved and, you know, sharing more information with each other. And I think all of the ideas are that you all have mentioned are good ways to encourage that kind of participation. So great. Alice had a few more ideas for topic suggestions. I guess if you have additional topics that you would recommend, you can feel free to edit these notes or send your ideas to Alice, whatever you think is easier for you. This is really just to get some thoughts generated and some ideas. So feel free to add those. Let's see. The next bit of news was the developers and committers are seeking to put together a documentation management team. Right now, our documentation is managed and improved by Jeffrey Trimble in coordination and kind of with lots of help from the committers and developers, obviously. But I think the task is a big task, and to continue to work and to make the most use of our documentation is now on the wiki. So it's easy enough to have several different editors working on it and helping to improve the documentation. And so the committers are looking for some more hands in the mix who are interested in making a difference on the documentation. I don't know, Tim, if you have more to add to that call for help or not.
I'll just mention it's very early. This is sort of a brainstorm. We're just noticing that we're trying to make continual improvements with our documentation, and we're noticing that even though we've moved it to the wiki to try and enable more people to interact with the documentation, we still have the ongoing issue of that none of the committers tend to have a whole lot of time to go back and make improvements to past documentation. We're constantly trying to build new documentation for the new features and everything, but it would be great if we could enhance what's already there, build a better sort of FAQ of common questions that are happening on the mailing lists, things like that. And so we're just kind of starting to put branches out to see if there's anyone out there who's interested in helping out with any of these endeavors. So if you know anybody at your institutions who may be of interest, this could be a good way to start to get involved a little bit more with the community and really help us start to build better documentation, better FAQs over time.
And this is the official documentation too. This isn't, working on, different parts of the wiki. This is the official documentation of a DSpace, the current DSpace release, or the future DSpace, the imminent DSpace release. So the FAQs obviously would be a portion of the wiki, but for the most part, it would be, the official documents that go along with the release. Just to draw that distinction, because there's lots of other resources on the wiki, that people volunteer to write or contribute, and this is really would be a part of the official documentation. So.
Correct, and you'd also be added as a contributor to DSpace and noted on the documentation and all that sort of stuff. So it's another way to just help out if you have some extra time.
Okay. Next up is just kind of a update on the Open Repositories Conference, which is going to be held in Austin, Texas this year, June 8th through the 11th. Yesterday was the close of the call for proposals. And I don't know yet how many we have gotten for either the general conference or the DSpace user group meeting. But Holly Mercer is going to be working on putting that meeting together for the DSpace users. And there's more information to come, I'm sure, on that very imminently. There is also some plans to, of course, put together a DSpace developer committer meeting either on Monday or Tuesday. And I think at this point, we're not sure which day it's going to be yet, right? Right, Tim?
Yeah, that's correct. We're still trying to work it out with the Open Repositories hosts there. But we are planning to invite DCATs along with committers and any interesting developers to join us. We're just trying to figure out what day the meeting will be.
And certainly I think that connection between the developers, committers, and DCAT is a really important connection, and one that I think has been that connection has really improved in the last year, and a lot of collaboration has gone on between what used to be the Global Outreach Committee members, now DCAT, but the existing members, the older outreach members, did a lot of coordination, collaboration with the committers. And I think there's clearly an interest on the committer side to make the connection with the DCAT and to continue to help build the bridge and do more work together and help each other accomplish as much as possible for the community. So there'll be, like Tim said, the DCAT will be a part of the developer committer meeting, or invited to that meeting. And then we're also planning on some kind of social, a beer or wine after that meeting together. So to help foster those connections. Any other news that people are aware of or think would be of interest? Okay.
So maybe Bram can mention this OI 7 space workshop.
Yes, that might be relevant as we're on events. So the day right before the OAI 7 conference in Geneva will be on the 21st of June. We'll have a full day of DSpace user group meeting. The registration for that is completely free and it's completely separate from the OAI 7 registration. So there's a link on the general OAI 7 website. And the program was recently updated, so there are already a few speakers confirmed, but definitely if someone is working on a feature for DSpace 1.8 or wants to contribute something to the DSpace 1.8 session, that would still be very welcome, as well as one or two additional use cases for the repository manager session. We also have a speaker confirmed. His name is Isidro Aguilo, and he's the author of the Webometrics repository ranking. So that will be in the first session, and that might be very interesting for people interested in the ranking and the new ranking coming up in July. And that's basically it. And Jura Space and Admire are together sponsoring the lunches and the coffee breaks and everything.
Great.
And it's right. The end of March. We in IFL are bringing DSpace managers from Nepal, Thailand, and Laos together for like a short training course.
And where is that arena?
It's in Vientiane in Laos.
Okay.
From FAO, I can tell you that we are going to. Sorry, today my voice. We are going to have a training session in Bangladesh, probably next month, because there is a project within ASP for setting up a DSpace implementation for a network of agricultural universities in the country. And also we are going to release this month a customization together with OceanDocs called AgriOcean DSpace. And actually, I'm wondering if could be a good idea to add something about AgriOcean DSpace, for instance, to the repository manager session in this parallel event together with OAI 7. And the other thing is that we just migrated as well ELIS, ePrint and Library Information Science, from ePrint to DSpace. It's almost everything done and with success. I mean, the migration is fine and it's everything working. We have prepared a paper for Open Repository. We are receiving actually lots of emails from the community, ePrint and DSpace, asking us why we migrated. So this is also
great.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little garbled.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't understand hardly a word.
We in the case of ELIS, ePrints and Library Information Science, we just migrated from the ePrints to DSpace. This has been communicated to the DSpace community. And we are receiving actually some emails from the Library Information Science community asking for our experience on that. Therefore, we prepared the paper for the Open Repository, and that's all. Yeah.
Great. Anyone else with news to share?
I can say from at Open Repository, Graham Triggs, who's a committer and a lot of you know us. We've been working pretty intensely on a new UI engine called FreeMarker, and it's been in the community JIRA on DSpace already, and a lot of you probably already know about it. We're hoping to lobby to get this into the 1.8 release as well. And he hasn't yet put it onto the feature set, but on that wiki page that you guys put around this afternoon. But we're hoping that we can. We intend for it to be complete before OR11 as well. And I think it would be quite an exciting new step forward for user interface, where it separates the template engine and the and all the data and the presentation there.
Okay. Shall we get to reviewing and giving a bit of an orientation to the new members on our process now? So it's number two on the agenda. Then just to kind of give everyone some grounding in some of the work that we've done and putting together a process around reviewing new feature requests, and really the idea of coming together as a team and sort of reforming ourselves from the global outreach group, which was really more of a project group. We kind of did a lot of different things, developed a lot of different resources for the community in the global outreach group, including the new and improved DSpace registry. We moved from kind of doing that project work to feeling like the biggest need within the community is trying to facilitate and help push along new feature requests that crop up in the community. And that activity kind of ranges from understanding the request and seeing and making some assessment together of whether or not that request has broad appeal within the community, and some judgment about the urgency of that request. If it's a request of great importance to the broad community, whether or not, you know, it's an urgent or a long-term, you know, or a very complex request, and trying to also then see if we can't come up with some other stakeholders within the community, some new stakeholders within the community, and possibly some new developer resources. So I think if you read what I have down there in terms of the goal of the DCAT is really to help review and facilitate community-wide discussions on new feature requests in JIRA, and to provide support to the DSpace Developer Committer Group in producing software releases. And I thought it was important to say what it is and what it is not, so that we all at least can understand where we are right now. It's not to say that we can't change this, evolve this somewhat, but I think this is, and Tim can chime in here if he likes, this is what we have agreed to with the committer group. And I think it's really important that we recognize that this is a collaboration with them. And so this agreement has been struck with them to move forward and have activities in this way. So what it is, it's a group representing the community. So we're all representatives of different parts of the community with different interests and different focuses. But from our group, it's hoped that we can make an assessment about the new feature requests coming through JIRA in a way that might be different than the committers and developers when they look at those requests. We can give an assessment about, you know, whether this is something that is widely viewed as something missing or, you know, very necessary in DSpace, and give some idea of the relative value and urgency for the broader community. We are also going to, with those requests that are, you know, that we make the assessment are urgent and high value in the community, we would like to have this group facilitate a community-wide discussion. It would be an asynchronous discussion, you know, probably not unlike what Alice is doing with the eForum, to get a consensus from the community, as well as, if necessary, to flesh out some of the requirements or some of the things that people would like to see for that feature. But probably more importantly, to see if we can't find more stakeholders and developer resources to come forward and say, yeah, you know, that is really important to me. I've wanted to work on it, or I have been working on it, and, you know, I would like to be a part of a collaboration, or I would like to be to contribute that. I think a lot of times people don't know how to contribute and how they can step in and offer something that they maybe have already done. So this is really meant to be a way to get people talking, in a way to possibly identify some more resources who can contribute, and that way everyone wins, basically. It's also the case that the committers and specifically the release coordinator might be able to use some help from us in terms of communication on the announcements or different activities around software releases that take a lot of the release coordinator's time, but would be really helpful, you know, and advantageous if he could offload some of the more project management type work to some of us, so that he can go back and work on creating code and getting the release, or getting more features in the release. And then I guess the last thing, and this isn't really having to do anything with a specific release, but that we're still going to be collaborating on some projects with the community, like user group meetings and activities that further kind of networking within the community. I would encourage all of you to be active on the mailing list. I think most of you are, but to continue to that participation and your awareness of what's happening, you know, reading the mailing list and making sure you're aware of what's happening in the community, participating in the eForum, and then when you are a discussion leader, and we'll go over this in more detail, when you are the discussion leader on a specific new feature request, or whenever you have time to attend the weekly developer committer meetings. They're very easy to attend. You can do it very passively. You don't have to say anything. But I think it's a good way to stay in touch with what's happening in the community, and specifically with development on DSpace. I also want to be clear on what this group is not. So it is not a group that dictates the work priorities for developers and committers. I think we all have, in varying levels, recognition that committers and developers work for their institutions, and their priorities are largely dictated by the priorities of the institutions that they work for, the people who are paying them and write their paychecks. Many of these same people do work and do development for DSpace on their own time, but I think we need an appreciation that we are not setting our priorities for the committers and developers. We can encourage, and we can, you know, conduct votes within the community, and, you know, get some grassroots support for specific features to be included in future releases. But I think I just want to be fairly clear that we're not, you know, we're not setting priorities for the committers and developers. I think this is a vehicle for talking about priorities and talking about what's important in the community. And then I guess along with that, kind of the flip side of that, I think that I want to be really clear on is we're not just having these discussions to have discussions. I think there should be a point to our work together. Otherwise, you know, we're all just more or less wasting our time. So I think it's important to draw that distinction. If we don't feel like we're being effective and that we're making a difference, then we need to step back and recalibrate and figure out another path forward. So I am happy to talk about any of those ideas or be challenged on any of those ideas if anyone has any comments or feedback on any of that.
I wanted to ask how this the planning on discussing about these features fits into the release plan, because I noticed there was already a beta for, I believe, June. So I assume, I'm not entirely up to date, but I assume that kind of a feature freeze or a decision what's going to be included will happen kind of in the next month or in the next 2 months. Maybe, Tim, you can comment on this?
Yeah, I can comment on that. Essentially, the idea of a beta, which is what Bram is talking about before Open Repositories Conference has come up, and what that actually is for the developers is we're not going to do a feature freeze before the beta. So the beta is actually just a way for developers to try and get some early features in to get very early feedback. But between beta releases, features may change. We may add things. If we had to, we may remove things, but hopefully we don't have to remove things. It's more a stabilization process. But betas for us mean that the features are not frozen. They're still changing. But once we get to release candidates, which is way off into like more late summer, early fall, I forget when the first one is, that's when we have a feature freeze, where we're not going to accept any new features and we really need to stabilize. So that's the big difference between a beta release and a release candidate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks very much for this clarification.
You're welcome. And I, one thing to add here to what Val has said is I think this group has is a great group for the committers to also be able to lean on somewhat heavily at times, hopefully, in terms of trying to find out what is really important to the community, because that's what it's really all about. And that's what the committers really need to be able to get in order to be able to do better and better releases, is we need to understand what's important to the community. But as Val had mentioned here, it's very difficult to actually have any group, even myself, I can't dictate the work priorities of the developers and the committers. As odd as that may seem, as the tech lead, I can't dictate priorities, but I can encourage people to try and work on certain things. But in the end all be all, the only features that really get into a release are the ones that institutions who pay those particular developers have decided they really want to get behind. So it's a matter here of hopefully DCAT can help us not only figure out what the community wants, but also help us to locate those institutions that are really interested to see particular features happen and even pull more developers into the community, hopefully, or potentially help us find more committers, because we just need more developers, more committers to continually build as many features as there are out there that we want to be able to build. There's only so much we can do with a limited committer pool. So just to add sort of a developer sort of standpoint to all of that, but I'm happy to take questions as well. And I think this group has a lot of they're already gaining a lot of trust amongst the committers, which is a great thing, because the more trust you can generate, the more likely it is we can leverage somebody to try and find a little bit of their time to get the things done that are really important.
Yeah, and I guess I would add that Robin Taylor had the release coordinator for 1.8 had very much wanted to be here, but he had a last minute conflict. So he is on the DCAT list. I think I had mentioned this in an email out to DCAT a few weeks ago. He's on the DCAT list. He's going to be monitoring our activity, and they've actually had discussions on each of the items that we've reviewed so far in the committer meeting. So, and I think if you go back and read the transcripts, it's clear that, you know, there's a lot of interest in trying to do work on the items that we find, you know, urgent and important for the community. I think what's also clear is they need a lot of help, as Tim said, in fleshing out what those requirements are. And I think that's where we have a lot to offer and where we have a lot of potential to contribute to the community. So, okay, well, I'd like to, we have 10 minutes left and I want to be very respectful of people's time, but if we can get into the process overview. So item 2B, and again, this is a new process open to feedback and refinement. I think we also might have a little bit of an aggressive idea of what we can accomplish in terms of number of items we tackle, but we'll start with this and we'll see where we get to as a group. So if you follow that link for the overview of the process, you come to a page, DCAT New Feature Review Process. And basically the process is fairly simple. Each DCAT member selects one JIRA issue to review. And I have a link to all the new feature requests identified in JIRA. So every issue, for those of you who aren't familiar with JIRA, every issue is categorized depending on what it is. It might be categorized as a bug or a new feature or something else. And I can't think off the top of my head what those other categories would be. But we're just mainly focused on new feature requests. There are about 50 right now sitting in JIRA. Some of them are quite old. But the idea is for you to pick one that seems particularly compelling to the community. So it's sort of a way of prioritizing those issues right out of the gate. You're going to pick the one that you think is the most compelling, either to your institution or to the broader community. And you review it. You summarize it and review it. And you are known as the DCAT discussion leader for that specific issue. You will then put yourself on the DCAT discussion schedule, and you can find that schedule in that link there. And it's, you know, basically just scheduling it out so that we don't have more than one issue we're discussing in a given week as a group. So we don't have like 3 million threads going. We're just discussing one issue. And then you are the person that kind of starts that discussion. You summarize it, and there's some examples out there on the discussion forum of how this was done most recently. You summarize the issue. You make your assessment, your recommendation of what the DCAT assessment should be, and the ratings. Let's see. We have the ratings here of how high a priority the issue is for the broader community and how broadly the interest is. So if you think it's a broad interest or you think it's fairly narrow, those would be kind of the two ends of the scale. And then the priority would be high, medium, and low. It's important that as many DCAT members as possible, you know, preferably everyone, votes to agree or not agree with the assessment of the discussion leader. So you vote a plus one if you agree, a minus one if you disagree, a zero if you have no opinion. And I think it's important if you have no opinion to register that as well. This all takes place in a discussion forum format because I think it's far easier to follow than on a mailing list. So you'll see the discussion forum is actually within the wiki. It's a part of the Confluence DSpace wiki. So if you follow that, you can see examples of what's gone on before. Once the DCAT vote, and this is meant to be very quick, you're not meant to invest a ton of time in research either as the discussion leader or as a voter. It's meant to be a quick vote. I think it's good to note that the committers and developers, when they're in their meeting, they try to spend less than 3 minutes or so, certainly less than 5 minutes in any given issue. And the idea is just to get a quick assessment and move through the items quickly, knowing that there's probably more discussion to come at some point. So once the DCAT vote is complete, the discussion leaders should post the assessment from DCAT right into the JIRA issue. So if we deem something as broad interest to the community, high priority, then you post that into the JIRA issue with some explanation as to our position. If it's of narrow interest and low priority, well, hopefully we're not going to be spending time on those, at least not in the immediate future. But there should be some sensitivity to the original requester, you know, about how you word that. You may not want to actually use low priority and narrow scope, like this is too specific to your institution. You know, you may want to use some diplomatic words on those. But again, I think we're kind of automatically in the beginning going to be self-selecting the higher priority broad interest issues. So it may not be as relevant at this point. If you do determine that a issue is of high priority and that we should have a wider community discussion because either no one's working on it, the reasons why you would call for a community-wide discussion because no one's working on it, or because perhaps we don't have the all the requirements fleshed out, or there's some competing ideas about how it should be approached, then at that point we would have a community-wide discussion. And we have no more than one community-wide discussion, no more than two community-wide discussions in a month. That seems reasonable to me. It might actually be a little heavy if we want to encourage participation. I think we got to play with this some in terms of making sure that we don't fatigue everybody on all these discussions. But the idea is to really engage the community and encourage people to give feedback so that we can have or speak with some authority about what the community wants. I think actually before you get to the community-wide discussion, there should be one step inserted here that I think we missed and that we caught this last time, which is we need to find out the current status. So if someone's assigned, if there's a committer or developer assigned to that issue, it's a good idea to check in first with them on what the status is, if it's going to be in the next release, if there's anything, any help that they need, if it's doubtful whether it's going to be in the next release, then those things are, those would lead you to believe that we need to have more resources on it. If the committer says, yeah, it's going to be done, I'm all over it, and they don't, and they're fairly satisfied that they have the requirements identified, then I don't think we need to have a community discussion. It's if we are unclear about the requirements or we're unclear about the resources to do the work, that's when we need to have the discussion. So I'll insert a kind of a step 4.5 here. Let's see. It's also
Valerie, can I add something there? I think
yep.
It's at times it may also be worth bringing it up with the committers meeting as well before having the community discussion. For
right.
example, the issue that I've been working on, I don't think there's any point in taking that to a community discussion.
Right. So maybe we move step 6 because step 6 is that as well. Maybe we move step 6.
Maybe you can make step 6 into either checking in with the committer or raising it as a part of the committer's meeting, if that makes
okay.
any sense.
Yep. But the idea is when you are the discussion leader for the week, so you've picked your issue and you're the discussion leader for the week, after the discussion is complete, it would be ideal if you attended the committer meeting so you would have an opportunity to, you know, get a few minutes, possibly if you felt like you needed a few minutes to talk about the issue with the committers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, attending that meeting and hearing their process is also helpful for DCAT kind of to understand how they work. So then I think the part that we haven't done quite yet is held these community-wide discussions. So I think we're on the verge of doing some of that with some of these issues that we started with. And I don't think we have enough time to go through them because we're down to two minutes. But I think the next step is to figure out and schedule those community-wide discussions for those issues that we have already started on. I think there was some good engagement. If you track through the notes, particularly on the discussion forum, you'll see that there was some really good engagement from the committers on the issues, on the three issues that we've already reviewed. I think there's some varying degrees of complexity on some of these, but it seemed like all of them, Ellen and Jim, you can at least correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like they both kind of merited some further, they merited a community-wide discussion. Is that accurate?
I think that's right. Yes.
The one that I was working on, there's certainly things happening within the community. I'm currently talking to Robin Taylor about how exactly to take it forward. I think the requirements are actually reasonably well understood, so I'd probably not. And also, just bringing it up in the committers group ended up with loads of people coming in from a variety of agendas. And Tim, correct me here if
right.
you thought that understood this differently. So I'd probably not take that forward to a community discussion at this moment, because I need to understand better the entire curation framework and then see how this particular thing will fit in with everything else that's going on, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I understood as well. So parts of the one that you had brought to the committers meeting, which was the check files for viruses and verify the file format, parts of that were already being developed into the new curation tools framework by MIT. So there was that aspect of it that was already being developed in the curation tools framework in time for 1.8. And then Robin Taylor was going to investigate whether or not it would also be beneficial to build it directly into the submission process, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it sounded like he was volunteering for a part of, for at least the part of the work that was of interest to him. So
right, so at least investigating some of that. Yeah.
So I'll keep track of that, and I'm aiming to put a summary up on the ticket. Whether the ticket itself will be maintained or not, I'm not sure at this stage. But I'm not going to let this go quite yet.
Yeah. Just to push on that a little bit, I hope Robin and Jose have talked about this or are going to, because
Robin. I need to have a conversation with him, but since he's in the UK, I can easily do that.
That's great.
But I mean, there will either, whether they'll be using that patch or there will be equivalent tools that is brought into the software, I don't know at this stage. Have you done lots of requirements work for that in Michigan? Chris, if you have, it would be really good to... Oh, okay.
We never do requirements work. I just decide something and then...
Right.
Sounds like...
Because what I saw from the committee's discussion was that even if you're talking about the same thing, people have such different ideas of what actually will be implemented. So
And we can talk offline about this and what we have done here and incorporated. And
I'll make sure
specifically focused in the submission process.
I'll make sure to bring you into the discussion because, various aspects came up. But I'll keep going on this.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay, well, we'll keep plugging along on those three. So it sounds like for sure that that the DS-164 needs to go to community-wide discussion. So I think we probably just need to schedule that up, Jim. And I'm not sure, probably should figure out a utility to do that, not unlike our internal DCAT discussion schedule. So I'll put something up for that. So we don't overlap. And then maybe just talk a little bit more about how the vehicle for that, if we're going to do it on the mailing list or not. So I'll get with you and we'll figure out how to, kind of put a stake in the ground, at least at this point, and figure out the next steps for that. So I guess just in closing, since we're out of time, if you have any questions, please feel free to ping me or call me. But at this point, I would invite the new DCAT members to go ahead and take a look at the JIRA new feature list inside of JIRA. Pick out a couple that may be of interest to you and good candidates for the discussion that you want to kind of pursue and lead. And get yourself on the discussion calendar for DCAT, and we'll roll forward. I think if we find that we have too many discussions going on and too much activity, we can certainly narrow the scope down a bit. But I think it'd be great to get some more activity and some more perspectives from our new members and more opinions. So I would encourage all of you to jump in. I don't think there's anyone currently scheduled on the schedule for a discussion. We were down to, like I said, only six DCAT members. So feel free to jump in, as soon as next week if you want. And if you if you have questions, feel free to contact me.
Valerie, that on that number one, that where the link from JIRA issue, it comes up as an error. Is that for everybody getting that, or is that just me?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, same
I've seen that as well, yeah.
An error.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a way, Tim, there used to be a way to create a URL for everybody on a search, and I couldn't find that again for JIRA.
There is a way.
Okay. How about I do that? I'll do that, guys, and I'll post it to the notes.
Great.
Post it to the notes.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yep. And thanks everybody for joining.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the discussion. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.